to Good News from a Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Old Dr. Carver still made house calls, and one afternoon he made a call to the Tuttle house. Mrs. Tuttle was in terrible pain, and Dr. Carver arrived and went into the bedroom with Mrs. Tuttle, and after, he was just in there a short minute and came out and said to his, Mrs. Tuttle's husband, said, do you have a hammer? He said, well, yeah, I got a hammer. He ran out to the garage and got a hammer, and the doc got it and went back into the bedroom, and he came back out and he said, do you have a chisel? See, I got a chisel, and he ran back out to the garage and came back in and gave me, and he came back out and said, do you have a pair of pliers? And Mr. Tuttle said, Doc, what in the world are you doing to my wife? He said, not a thing. I can't get my medical bag open. Perception. Perception is sometimes not exactly the truth. And it might be that you think that Fundamental Baptist Church is doing great because you're comparing us to other churches. And I want you to know, perception is not always the truth. I've got such a burden for Michigan, such a burden for the Upper Peninsula, for our county. And in order to impact America, we've got to take care of our county, our Jerusalem, then the peninsula in which we live, and then of course, lower Michigan as well, all of the state of Michigan. We can make an impact. God has changed my message this morning, and I want to share something with you that I believe will help you in your personal growth. I got a great message on heaven, brand new, fresh look at heaven. I worked on it all week long. And then God this morning said, you ain't preaching that message on heaven. And so here I am, and I'm just going to go to some old truths. It's things that, if you've been saved for a while, you know these things, but it's obvious we all need to be reminded of them. If you're someone that's real close to God right now, man, you just sit back and you say, hey, man, that's right where we're at. That's right where what I need to hear this morning. That's what we all need to hear. If you're here and you're not born again, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save you this very day. I want to say this before I get into the message. Salvation, the born again experience, is personal and it's real. It isn't something you grow into. It isn't something you just kind of accumulate information and say, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. That's not how it works. Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There must be a time and a place where you repent of your sin and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. You know who Jesus said that to? Nicodemus, a Pharisee in the land of Israel, a master, a teacher. Jesus said, you're a teacher and you don't know these things? He said, man, do I enter into my mother's body again and be born a second time? Jesus said, no, you're born of the flesh once, and you need to be born of the Spirit once as well. Ye must be born again. Let's start with prayer again. I want to pray again. Father, we ask your blessing upon the Word of God this morning. Please do in our midst what needs to be done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew in chapter 16 and verse 16 says this. You might, by the time you get there, I might be done with it, but go ahead and turn there. Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, Peter, you know that because of God the Father. He has taught you that. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, or Petros, or little stone. But upon this rock, and upon this rock, that's Petra, a different word, speaks of bedrock, Jesus Christ speaking of himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the first time the word church is used in the New Testament context in the Word of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. I'm going to kind of shoot from the cuff here a little bit this morning, and I do have about six, seven things I want to cover, but they're not real detailed. This is the church age in which we live. I believe in the primacy of the church. By the way, I'm not preaching this because of something that happened this morning. That's not it. God just kind of, he steers me sometimes, and it's not spooky, and it's not mystical, and it's not like I'm a holy man. I don't want you to think that. But if you're surrendered, God leads you. And that's really, and he can do the same, he'll do the same for you. And I believe God is just wants me to touch on this morning. Just a reminder, just kind of like a tune-up before the summer begins. But I believe that this, and I know that this is the church age. I've studied the Bible long enough to know that'd be the case. It started with the day of Pentecost, and it's going to end with the rapture of the church. It's going to happen any day now. It's going to happen any moment now where the trumpet of God is going to sound, and the church is going to be taken from this earth, raptured, seized from this earth, and will meet the Lord in the air. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And then the 7 years of tribulation break forth here on this earth. We're right at the end, right at the very far edge of the church age. With that in mind, go to Revelation in chapter 3. Revelation in chapter 3. We're all made of the same stuff. Talked about that this morning in Sunday school. Doesn't matter what tongue you speak, what culture you are from, what part of the world, what part of the planet you are from, we are all made of the same stuff and have the same kind of baggage. We that are born again, and we follow the Lord in baptism, in the waters of baptism, we're members of the local church. You're born again, you're part of the church universal, which never totally meets here on this earth. Doesn't meet until the trumpet sounds, right? And we get to heaven. In the meantime, God has established, I'll give you this in the Word of God from beginning to end of the New Testament, but we don't have time to go to it right now. Local churches, set them up as soul-winning stations to get the gospel out and bring glory to God, to reach this dark world for Christ, because there is nothing closer to the heart of God than the salvation of sinners. That's why God ordained Fundamental Baptist Church. It's why we are here. We're not here to take care of Pastor Rader and meet his needs, or Pastor Lockhart or Pastor Rader Jr. We're not here that's not why we've been established. We're here to reach the county and the state for Jesus Christ. We're to do our very part. And in the church age in which we live, churches sometimes lose their way. Seven churches of Asia Minor are mentioned in the book of Revelation. The church at Laodicea, the last church, the last part of the church age, we don't want to be part of that. And we don't need to be part of that. The Laodicean church is rich and selfish and carnal and full of themselves. They don't even know they have great needs. They just see everybody else's problems. And they're not reaching anybody for Christ. This morning in Sunday school, if you were there, you got this. I hope I can get it right now. Carnality, fleshliness, by nature, is selfish. By its very nature. Spirituality, Christ-likeness, by nature, is generous. That's just the way it is. I said this morning, you search the scripture. Jesus Christ himself is used as the example of that in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. And I thought about this all week long, and I do not know of one servant of God that's being used of God except he is hyper generous. I know of others that are very selfish, and it's shrinking. And it's shrinking. So we need to be a giving kind of people. In case I don't get to this morning, I may not ever get to where I intended to go, even in the last several moments before the service started. You know how to measure a man's wealth? By the things that he possesses that money can't buy and death can't take away. You let that sink in. You don't measure a man's wealth but what he has in the bank, the kind of job he has, the kind of automobile he drives, the kind of home he lives in, forget that. Clothes that he wears. You measure a man's true wealth by the things that he possesses that money can't buy and death can't take away. Amen. The church at Philadelphia had limited means, but they had the riches of heaven. I am the richest poor man you'll ever see. I have Christ. Revelation in chapter 3, let's look at verse 7. I spoke about Laodicea, that's after this. But the Church of Philadelphia is the kind of church we want to be and desire to be. And I believe we've been in the past. Not that we've arrived, not that we're perfect, not that we always do everything right. But we got our eyes on Jesus and we're working our way through this world of darkness, and God is leading us and He's feeding us. He's blessing us along the way. He says in verse 7, it says, "And to the angel of the Church of Philadelphia," right, by the way, Philadelphia means brotherly love. I think we probably all know that. We need to be a loving people. "These things saith he that is holy," this is Jesus, "he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name." Church historians and Bible theologians identify as the Philadelphia church age. That part of the church age called Philadelphia is from the year 1750 until the rapture. The Philadelphia church will still be in operation at the rapture of the church. It's just that not all churches fit this Philadelphia model. They're not really a Philadelphia church. This is the time of the great missionary movements. This is the time of the Sunday school movement. This is the time of many of the great revivals, especially in this hemisphere. God has blessed again and again the Philadelphia church. It says in verse 8, "I know thy works." So they're a blue-collar kind of people. "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." And here's what I want to say real quick this morning. God has given to Fundamental Baptist Church an open door. We have the opportunity of the propagation of the gospel unless we get selfish, unless we get carnal. God has given to us great opportunities, and no man can shut that door. Only Jesus Christ can. And He's the only one that can open it, by the way. And it's open. 9.9 million people live in the state of Michigan. 311,000 people live in the Dark Peninsula, the Upper Peninsula. 38,000 live in Chippewa County. Say, how are we going to reach 9.9 million people that live in Michigan? By getting the gospel to the 38,000 that are in our county. By getting the gospel to every member of our family. By reaching our neighbors for Christ. That's how the gospel works. And one life impacts another. The Bible says in Romans, faith unto faith. Sometimes that gets short-circuited and people aren't doing the will of God anymore. I've said this, and I don't want to rehash old things. I don't know how many times I've said it here, but I've said it to preachers, that if all the churches in Michigan that at one time were the kind of churches that we are now, I mean, they just simply preached the Bible and gave an altar call and people got saved and it wasn't a fashion show and people weren't full of themselves. If all those churches had stayed faithful, this state would be a different state than which we live in right now. I mean, we're talking about just under 200 BBF churches. These are all independent Baptists, by the way. This just doesn't even include the others. I think there's over 400 JARB churches, General Association of Regular Baptists. There's the IFBAM churches, the Independent Fundamental Baptist Association of Michigan. And then there's all kinds of churches just like us. We don't belong to anything. We're stubborn. You can't get along with anybody else. So we don't belong to anything. And if all of those churches, by the way, so many of those churches no longer give an altar call. And they're pleased with themselves. No longer preach the Bible in a way that people can understand. And they're pleased with themselves. No longer send out missionaries. The prayer meetings are smaller. The Sunday evening services are going away. Sunday school has become a thing of the past. Now, it's not the case wherever, everywhere. I want you to know that. There's a good group of churches. But what if they'd all stayed faithful? We can continue to be. The honeymoon does not have to end. The Philadelphia church right up until the sound of the trumpet. Here's what's got to happen. This is very, very practical, and by the way, we're all in the same boat. Let's make sure we're all rowing in the same direction. If you're on, we're on the same bike, if you want to use that as an analogy. Don't be someone that's back there dragging their feet. Let's reach the world for Christ. It says here in the church at Philadelphia that they had an open door that God had opened, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. You've kept my word. You don't put up with false doctrine. God is going to bless you. He says that to the Philadelphia church. Here's what needs to happen. You might want to write these down. I've only got 10 minutes left of radio time. I'm going to make this very quick, and I got 7 things. Number one, confess Christ publicly. Don't be a secret Christian. Don't be someone that just kind of hides in the shadows. The other side is shouting at the top of their lungs. And even if they're in the minority, they sound like the majority. And we as the people of God need to confess Christ publicly. Romans chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. I'm going to turn over there. You might want to write it down. You might want to turn there if you can turn quickly. Romans and chapter 10 and verses 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Matthew chapter 10 and verses 32 and 33, Jesus said, whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. We need to be verbal with our confession of Christ. We need to tell people that we are born again, that we are blood-bought, that I'm saved and I don't do that anymore. It's not about religion. It's about Jesus Christ being my personal Savior and changing me from the inside out. Number two, church membership. Y'all know that. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to excite one another unto good works. Go to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. One of my favorites. Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. There's nothing like going to church. In my heart, I look forward to Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night every single week. I love to be with God's people. I don't enjoy being with the world. I love being with God's people. And I love hearing the word of God. And I love singing the songs of the saved, our brethren coming together and lifting our voices. And it's an encouragement. And the Bible says in Hebrews 10, we're to excite one another unto good works. And even more so as you see the day approaching, the day of the rapture. We're right at the church age, right at the end of the church age. Right now, we need to be faithful to the church. Christ is the answer, and Christ's church is not an option. You will not make it except you're faithful to Christ's church. I'm talking about not only make it to heaven, I mean make it in life and experience the darkness and the corruption of this world without the fellowship of the church. You'll not make it. It won't be long, and you'll be just like everybody else that's around you. You need to concentrate on some daily Bible study. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to eat. If you don't eat, you're not going to grow. And you can't live on junk food. As much as you might like candy bars, potato chips, man, potato chips like that manna from heaven. I've loved it all my life. You know, I just every chance I get, I eat potato chips. And not today, though. If you know anything that's going on in my life, not going to happen today. I have a certain procedure tomorrow that I've got to go through that'll be left unnamed. And I am going to, I can't eat anything today. So I'm going to get away from this food stuff right now. Just take it from me. You need to get in the Bible and you need to grow. You need to grow in grace, but you're not going to do it unless you're in the milk of God's word and the meat of God's word. So they confess Christ, church membership, concentrate daily on Bible study, commune with God in prayer. Matthew chapter 6, why don't you turn over there? Matthew in chapter 6. I've got an outline here that I scratched down from another message a long time ago, and I don't know when, but that's kind of what I'm sharing with you here very quickly. But these are things that we all need, and this is how we're going to grow. Listen to me, we have got a month of camp in front of us in the month of July. The camp is running. I mean, it's going to be a strong summer. We'll impact northern Michigan by way of Canaan Land again this summer. We've got vacation Bible schools here and away. We've got other efforts, many efforts that are going on during the summer. And then we got what's ahead of us in fall, and we've got to kind of rally the troops. We've got to rally to the colors and then charge again. And the gates of hell will not prevail against the church as long as we're not in the flesh. So you know what? Confess Christ and do it publicly. If you're not a member of the church, man, make sure you become a member of the church. Get baptized. Concentrate daily on Bible study. Commune with God every day in prayer. Matthew in chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Goes on and teaches about prayer. Jesus does there. I said 2 weeks ago, I'll say it again, maybe it was last week, religion, cold, hard religion is destroying America. We need Christ. We need the Savior. And we don't need the ceremony and the pomp and the ritual. We don't need to be walking around saying, "I'm a Baptist. That's why I don't do that." You know, we need to walk around saying, I belong to Jesus. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's got to be real. And the way you're going to get to know your Father is by talking to Him. You're not even going to know your wife if you don't talk to her. And you're to commune with God in prayer every day. We're to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. And over and over again, you need to live in the presence of God. I hope you have your prayer closet and you go through the 24 hours of the day or whatever time you're awake and you're walking with God. You're talking with God the whole time. You might as well not talk to yourself. It doesn't do you any good. You talk to God. I mean, you show reverence, but you talk to God in every situation. Lord, I'm going into this home right now, and I need your help. God, I'm going to purchase such and such right now, and I sure need your direction in this. Don't leave God out of your life. Commune with God every day in prayer. Communicate the gospel. Find somebody today and tell them of Jesus. John chapter 15 and verse 16, Proverbs 11 and verse 30. Somehow, some way, tracts or literature or verbally sitting down with people, but somehow, some way, don't let a day go by. D.L. Moody had this in his life. He said, I committed myself to not letting a day go by except I talked to some lost person about Christ. Boy, that'd be wonderful. He said, many times I'd wake up early in the evening realizing I hadn't talked to anybody that day, and I'd put my clothes on, go outside, and I'd find somebody and talk to someone about Christ every single day. You're an ambassador of heaven. And it might be that one time you used to be a great soul winner. Now you leave it to someone else. Shame on you. God might just well take you home to heaven right now. In fact, if you're not for me, you're against me, Jesus said. If you're on the bike and you're dragging your feet, get off the bike. If you're in the boat and you're rowing in the wrong direction, jump out of the boat. Family of God, I've always prayed this. I haven't prayed it real earnest. I say always. Maybe in the last decade, but I've been praying it of late. God, give us people who mean business. God, we need your blessing. I accept the fact that not everybody is going to be a great soul winner. I don't accept that. God wants us all to be great soul winners. Every single one of us. Conquer personal sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And God, who will with the temptation also make a way for you to escape." Romans chapter 6, "No sin should rule in my life." No sin. Don't let some junk sin rob you of joy and peace and the power of God. Don't let some junk sin take away your opportunity for service. Amen. And I would tell you to contribute to Christ's cause. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store all that God had prospered you. Leviticus chapter 27, let's go over there quickly. Leviticus in chapter 27. Verse 30. Talks about tithing, but I want you to know this was practiced by the people of God before the law. I am reading the law here, though. It starts in verse 26, pretty detailed. Verse 30 says, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord." That's why the prophet Malachi would say, "Well, you know, you've robbed God. Wherefore have we robbed God? In tithes and offerings." I just tell you, I'm not begging for anything. God's not poor, but don't rob yourself of the blessing of giving God the 10% of the 100% that God has placed in your hand. And you know the truth is? The 100% is God's. All of it. We need to reach this world for Christ. Some this morning I would ask you to come to the altar and pray for someone that isn't saved. I'd ask some to come to the altar and pray for someone who isn't here. 9.9 million people in Michigan. 311,000 people in the Upper Peninsula. 38,000 people in Chippewa County. I just want you to know that from heaven's perspective, there's a whole lot of Michiganders going to hell. They've not been born again. You know whose hands that blood is on? Fundamental Baptist Church. Your neighbor? Look right down at your hands. We got to get the gospel out. We need to prepare for this summer for God to bless like he has never blessed. Your neighbors and co-workers are dependent upon that. Let's bow our heads together. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I thank you for everyone that's faithful to the church, faithful to our services. There are men and women here. I call them for something and they are Johnny on the spot. Saw it again in the last couple of weeks. I see it every week. God, from my view, these are good people. And God, I know you're a great God. But Lord, I know that we aren't what we ought to be. I pray, Jesus, that you would set us on fire with the gospel. So many excuses. It's too easy to be worldly. God, help us to be godly, Christ-like.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.